නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස So we were discussing Halitdikani Sutta which is available in Sanyutta Nikaya Khanda Sanyutta so basically Here, actually, interesting point is that maybe after Buddha's passing away, Venerable Mahakachana was living in Avanti, that is one area in ancient India, and at that time, a householder called Halitdikani is visiting him. And this Halitdikani wants to get a better explanation about the verse available in the Suttanipata Attaka Vagga. So the Attakavagga as well as Parayanavagga are very special or very interesting areas of the Buddha's teaching where Sutta Nipata in general also are quite ancient and it seems that Buddha himself has referred certain verses he uttered in this Attakavagga or Parayanavagga later in his time to explain to Dhamma to the audience and similarly certain other monks and these householders also have asked questions related to those verses available in Attakavagga, Parayanavagga at a later time either from the Buddha or either from other monks. So one instance is this where the householder Halitdikani visiting Venerable Mahakachana and asking a question related to one verse available in the Attakavagga, in the Magandhiya Sutta. The verse going on like okang pahaya aniketasari game akubbang muni santhavani kamehi ritto apurakkarano katang navigaiha janena kari kairati So this is the verse that he wants to get a better explanation and here what is oka and what is niketa and these are the ones actually we last time already discussed So, Venerable Mahakachana is actually well known for his extraordinary skill to explain Dhamma in simple terms as well as in detail. When someone has a kind of a question with respect to a deep topic of Dhamma, so monks used to visit Venerable Mahakachana and they want to get a better explanation. So, Venerable Mahakachana was with that talent and also praised by the Buddha. That he is having such a interesting ability to explain Dhamma in detail so that the audience can understand in simple way. Now here also Venerable Mahakachana is giving the explanation to this verse and here Venerable Mahakachana mentioned so when a consciousness associating any sort of other aggregates it is called An association of a home. Form element householder is the home of consciousness. One whose consciousness is shackled by lust for the form element is called the one who roams about in a home. So that means Rupa dhatu ko gahapati vinyanasa oko. So oka is the term used for a house. So whenever the consciousness element or vinyana is associating rupa dhatu that means the rupa upadana khanda the form aggregate and well established they are nourished they are and then it is called oka or kind of one which is having a house so one who is very much associating a house living in a house So that means the consciousness element has to be somewhere established. So that is the typical nature of the consciousness element or consciousness, where it can't live alone. It needs somewhere to stay, some place to establish. So therefore, even in the Upaya Sutta that is being highlighted, as we discussed last time, Rupa Upayang Va Bhikkave Vinyanam Tittamanam Tittaya Rupa Rammanam Rupa Patittam Nandupa Sevitsang, Nandupa Sechanang, Buddhing, Virulhing, Vepullang, Apajaya. So likewise, in Upaya Sutta also this is highlighted, where Where Buddha mentioned the consciousness when associating the rupa dhatu or rupa or the form aggregate, so then associating that the consciousness stands. Consciousness tittamana, that means consciousness stands. Tittaya, it's established or well stabilize. Rupa arammanam, having the form aggregate as an arammana, as a, what you say, as a kind of an object. Then rupa patitta, well established in the form aggregate. Nandupa sechana, and the interesting another point is, by being established, there are some sort of a delight being formed, which is somewhat defiled. So when consciousness associate form aggregate, it is not mere association, by due to this association, there is a kind of a delight being generated. So as a result of that, the person may prefer to stay like that, because there is a little kind of a delight available because of that association. And buddhing, that means there's a further growth, virulhing, the same thing, growing. And vepullang apajjaya, so it's become more and more fulfilled by this association. So it's very much like how a plant being grown, when a seed is thrown to a fertile ground, and then it is a sapling is coming, and then it is getting fertilizer, moisture, water, etc. from the ground, from the field, and now it is slowly growing as a plant, and ultimately it becomes a huge tree. Similarly, the consciousness also going through a such kind of a process, but the important thing is it happens very, very quickly, unlike a tree which is taking years, but here it may instantaneously, this whole process may happen. It established somewhere and quickly further and further start associating that area and get some nourishment, and now it is well established, now it is having a home, and now it is using that arammana, that object as the sort of its grasping, and it is very much shackled as a result of the lust in a way. Now the same thing Buddha explains here also in this Halidhakani Sutta. Actually, Venerable Mahakachana explained the same thing in this Halidhakani Sutta also, where he mentioned for the consciousness, this form element is a kind of a home. And similarly, he explained feeling element. So that means the Vedana, the feeling aggregate. Then the perception element, that means the Sanya Skanda, the perception aggregate. Then volitional formations, the Sankara Khanda, the formations aggregate. So all these four other aggregates are very much like four homes for the consciousness. So similarly here, Rupa Dhatu Raga Vinibandhancha Pana Vinyanam Okasariti Ucchati. So that means, so when this associates the consciousness element, associates the form element, there is lust, there is some sort of a delight, and it is being bound there, and then it is called one which is associating a house, associating a home. So similarly, all the other aggregates are explained, and that is where one is associating a horse, associating a house. Now, next he explains how the form, the consciousness element become homeless. So homeless, so that means at that moment anyone which is associating any kind of form, it is not established. So slightly it may see the object, but it doesn't mean immediately established there and wandering there, associating there, nourishing there and grasping that. Seeing is just seeing, hearing is just hearing, smelling is just smelling, tasting is just tasting, and going through some contact is just contact, and cognizing is just cognizing, but there is no further involvement, there is no further association, there is no further attachment. So that is the second situation where consciousness is homeless. The desire, lust, delight and craving, the engagement and clinging, the mental standpoints, adherences and underlying tendencies regarding the form element, these have been abandoned by the Tathagata. Cut off at the root, made like a palm stump, obliterated so that they are no more subject to further arising. Therefore, the Tathagata is called one who roams about homeless, roams about homeless. Now, interesting point is all these different cravings or defilements are abandoned. Katancha gahapati anokasariti hoti. Rupa dhatya ko gahapati yo chando yo rago yo nandi sorry ya nandi ya tanha ye upaya upadana cetaso adithana abhinivesa anusaya te tathagatassa pahina ucchinna mula thala vattu kata anabhavam kata ayatin anuppada dhamma. Now these are very interesting terms because all refer to some sort of attachment. All refers to some forms of craving. Now, chando, so that means kind of a desire. Then tanha, craving. Nandi, that is the delight as a result of the association. Upaya, so very much getting closer. Upadana, grasping. Chetaso adhithana, so that means having a mental standpoint. Then abhinivesa, adhering that. Anusaya, that means having kind of a latent tendency with respect to that particular object. So all these different ways, so our mind gets shackled, mind gets entangled whenever the form is associated. And similarly, you can understand how it happens when the feelings are associated. So we become attached to that, we become entangled, we become delighted by that, and there may be sort of craving, and then we get closer to it and we grasp it, assume that it is a very pleasurable feeling. So then all these different things, different stages of the mind may happen, and ultimately even when the feeling is not available, still there is a latent tendency to attach to a future feeling of the same kind. So such kind of attachment or latent tendency may be even generated as we are again and again promoting such behavior available in the mind. We are promoting a particular pattern available in the mind. We are promoting some sort of say circuit available in our brain in a way. So all these are now abandoned by the Tathagata, are all abandoned by the Buddha and the Arahants. So then they are called homeless. So the consciousness doesn't have any footing. Consciousness doesn't have any place to establish, to grow, to entangle. So as a result of that, consciousness is unestablished. So that is why it is called appatitta vijnana, where the consciousness is unestablished. And so the same thing explained to other aggregates, that means the feeling aggregate, perception aggregates, volitional formations, consciousness aggregate as well. Now here I am not sure about that part, so we are talking about the consciousness aggregate, so associating the same aggregate by the same aggregate, I am a little doubtful about that thing. Probably just a repetition happened in the sutta, but little bit something that we can discuss later. But in the Upaya Sutta, as far as I can remember, such consciousness aggregate, associating consciousness aggregate is not included. But anyway, in the Halidhakani Sutta, it is included. Now that is about that, and now there's another stage. And how householder does one roam about in an abode? Now the term here, when Venerable Mahakachana going to explain now, is called Niketa, Niketasari. Now previously explained okasari, and here also another term for house called niketa. And here katancha gahapati niketa sari hoti rupa nimitta niketa visara vinibandha ko gahapati niketa sari iti ucchati. So this is the statement. Rupa nimitta niketa visara vinibandha. Now these are some interesting terms here. Rupa nimitta, so that means the sign of the rupa, the sign of the form element. So therefore we need to understand when, say for example, when I associates some kind of a form, some sort of a sight, so it is not that the certain say element, certain if all the elements that the eye associates, only a fragment of that particular object is what I may be associating. Typically we mention, okay, it is the color, or maybe it is the shape. So that is what only the eye is associating. So that means only a fragment of information or fragment of data being captured by the sensor eye. So similarly, when our ear associates a particular sound, so it can't grab or it can't get the whole spectrum of information available from that particular sound, but only a fragment of information, only a fragment of data being captured. Now this is very known fact in the science. So whenever you are preparing or making a sensor, so it has only a kind of a limited range of its working capacity. So out of that, outside that working capacity, that range, so it can't recognize the data. So for example, if we consider our eye, so typically it is 400 nanometers to 800 nanometers. So that is the visual spectrum where the eye can recognize. Out of that range, I can't recognize. So that means, and similarly in the ear also, there's a particular range of decibels, I think 20 decibels to something. So that sort of a range is there. Only the sounds happening during that range, within that range, only the ear can recognize. Everything else can't recognize. But there may be certain animals who can recognize outside of that. Say for example, say a dog, maybe bat, can recognize certain sounds which the human can't. And similarly, there may be certain animals who can even see during the night which the humans can't. So likewise, these faculties are very limited, and only a very limited range the particular sensor can comprehend, can recognize. And the interesting point is, even in that recognition, only a very fractions are being taken, not the whole thing, but certain, say we can say certain salient points, certain impulses are the ones being captured by the sensor, by the eye, by the ear, by the nose, by the tongue, by the body, but not the full thing. And so rupa nimitta, so the nimitta here means those little signs what the form aggregate is having, and that is the only part the eye may be capturing. Similarly, the sounds may be available from that. There may be certain nimitta, certain signs, certain marks, only which the ear element or the ear may be capturing. Similarly, in the odors, there may be such little fractions. Those are the ones the nose may be capturing. So likewise, we need to understand one area that what these sensors are capturing. Now, when we are talking about the form element, so likewise, sounds, smells, tastes, tangibles, visuals, all these things are included. Now, very limited area we are comprehending. And the interesting part is visara vinibandha. Now anyway, even though it captured only a little portion, the defilements are capable of enhancing it, enlarging it, fabricating it and sort of confining the mind onto it. So therefore, that means the even though only a little part being captured, the defilements take care, okay, the mind being established or the consciousness being established, consciousness being confined to that particular object. And various kinds of other defilements are also formed. It is not just one defilement. Suppose, say for example, say while you are traveling, say you saw a particular picture. Suppose you are a person who is enthusiastic about various artwork. Say while you are traveling, you saw a particular picture and only a fragment you have seen. But immediately there may be many thoughts arising with respect to that, you thinking this way, thinking that way, and various thought formations are happening. At the same time, your mind being locked even to that fragment what you have seen. So immediately may be a kind of an attraction, kind of fear, kind of a confinement, limitation to that particular object. So your full attention is now very much drawn to that. So likewise, whenever we are going through various different kinds of forms, so they have that capacity to capture our attention. And from our side, there's a kind of a possibility or kind of a tendency that various defilements are sort of generated with respect to that fracture, with respect to that little portion of information what we have captured. So, Ropanimitta Niketa Vinisara Vinibandh, Visara Vinibandh, Ko Gahapati Niketa Sariti Ucchati. So, by diffusion and confinement in the abode, consisting in the sign of forms, one is called one who roams about in an abode. So, therefore, on the other hand, we can argue here what we see are only the signs, what we hear are only the kind of signs of the sounds. What we smell are only the signs of the smells. Similarly, what we taste are only the signs, marks of the taste. What we sort of sense are only the signs, marks of the tangibles. And maybe even when thoughts are coming to the mind, we may be taking only a little portion, most salient parts, that's the only one that we are cognizing. But our mind get quickly entangled, all different thought formations are aroused, defilements are aroused, and mind get confined. So this process happen very very quickly, and roams about in an abode. Now this is what it is mentioned like. It is called roams about in an abode. Niketasari iti ucchati. Previously it is called okasari iti ucchati. Now it is called niketasari iti ucchati. In the previous one, actually, so the internal desire, lust, delight, craving, all these different things are there. So as a result of that, so it is called having a home for the consciousness. The home of consciousness, and who roams about in a home, and here again roams about in an abode. Fairly similar, but certain two aspects seems highlighted. I mean, little differences are there, not but some similarities are also available. One thing is the defilement formation, the other thing is roaming, association, and fair amount of confinement. So these things are fairly similar, but anyway, so from different angles it has been seen. And on the other hand, now Venerable Mahakachan explains, Katanchagahapati Aniketasari iti hoti. Aniketasari, the opposite. How one roams without an abode. Roam about without abode. Diffusion and confinement in the abode consisting in the sign of forms. These have been abandoned by the Tathagata, cut off at the root, made like a palm stump, obliterated, so that they are no more subject to future arising. Therefore, the Tathagata is called one who roams about without a boat. Katancha gahapati aniketa sari hoti. Rupa nimitta niketa visara minibandha ko gahapati tathagatasya pahina. So all that previously what we said is abandoned by the Tathagata, by the Arahant. So that means even though the signs, small marks, are being captured by his senses, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, etc., but the defilement generation is not there. And the consciousness being confined to that object is also not there. So that is being abandoned, that is being cut off. So that means, even though he sees things, we can't say his mind being confined to what he has seen. So it is not established there. Seeing is just seeing, but it is not sort of restricted to that seeing. So these are interesting areas actually we can analyze in a way, how a seeing happens without mind being confined to the object. Without mind being captured by the object, without mind having any kind of a defilement with respect to that object. Now, the Arahant, anyway, seeing, he is also hearing, he is also smelling, tasting, everything happens. But the confinement part is missing. The defilement part is missing. So his mind still maintains the stability, still maintains the peacefulness, still maintains the clarity, still maintains that unattached, unestablished nature, the freedom is still maintained. While maintaining the freedom in the mind, still he can see, still he can hear, still he can smell, still he can taste, still he can cognize. So that is very, very interesting areas actually we can explore with respect to this sutta. So this diffusion and confinement in the abode, considering the signs of sounds, odors, taste, tactile objects, mental phenomena, these have been abandoned by the Tathagata, cut off at the root, made like a palm stump, obliterated, so that they are no more subject to future arising. Actually, you can see in the second explanation, Venerable Mahakachana explaining with respect to ayatanas, or the external objects we can see. That means sights, sounds, smells, tastes, tactile objects and mental phenomena. In the previous one, he is explaining with respect to the aggregates. That means the consciousness aggregate needs the form aggregate, needs the feeling aggregate, needs the formations aggregate, perceptions aggregate for it to well establish, to grow, to ground, to have a home. So with respect to all the aggregates he is explaining. Now here he is explaining only with respect to the what we call ayatanas, external objects, sights, sounds, smells, tastes, tangibles and mental objects, mind objects. Now so this is what we discussed, and now that part's end. So that the verse, the first verse, okampahaya aniketasari. So that part now he has completed. Now he is going to explain gami akubbang muni santavani. So that part now he is going to explain. Katancha gahapati gami santavajatu bhoti. And how householder is one intimate in the village. Now this is related to a monk. Typically when a monk associates a village, so he may be going for village alms round, and when he is going there, so typically he is not supposed to talk, not supposed to have kind of a intimate relationship with anyone. So he is supposed to simply collect some food and come back, and he is supposed not to look around, and there are certain Sekhya rules, or what we call the training rules, explained in the Vinaya. So how to go through a village? So he should not simply look here and there, and he has to have downcast eyes, and he has to wear the robes properly, and has to maintain fair amount of restraint. I should be restrained, ears have to be restrained. So like as a fair protocol is given for the monk to properly go through the arms round. But there may be certain lapses if a monk is not properly adhering to those rules. So assume that he is talking to everyone, he is simply having a laugh and having a chatter and talking about this and that. So that is kind of going through a kind of intimacy with them. Now here, householder, someone lives in association with lay people. He rejoices with them and sorrows with them. He is happy when they are happy and sad when they are sad. And he involves himself in their affairs and duties. It is in such a way that one is intimate in the village. So that means all these village matters are irrelevant to the monk. Now, and householder is one intimate with none in the village. Here, householder bhikkhu does not live association with lay people. Does not live in association with lay people. He does not rejoice with them or sorrow with them. He is not happy when they are happy and sad when they are sad. And he does not involve himself in their affairs and duties. It is in this way, in such a way that one is intimate with none in the village. Kadancha gapati gami na santhava yatu. So he doesn't have any kind of an intimate relationship with anyone. So that is interesting, because as I mentioned, the monks are not supposed to have such kind of intimate relationship with anyone. So he may have to associate certain lay people, but maintaining kind of a distance, not having too much attachment, not having any kind of a possessive feeling, not having kind of any intimate relationship, just a distant relationship. Maybe preaching Dhamma, and if they need some sort of an advice, maybe doing that. And that's all. Not always going to their house and talking and discussing their family affairs and all these things, and talking about politics and everything. So that is completely irrelevant to the monk. So that is highlighted here. So the monk has to be, monks should not have any kind of an intimate relationship with anyone in the village. Katancha gahapati kamehi aritto hoti. Now the next part. And how householder is one not rid of sensual pleasures? Here householder, someone is not devoid of lust, desire, affection, thirst, passion and craving in regard to sensual pleasures. It is in such a way that one is not rid of sensual pleasures. And the opposite. And how householder is one rid of sensual pleasures? Here householder, someone is devoid of lust, desire, affection, thirst, passion and craving in regard to sensual pleasures. It is in such a way that one is rid of sensual pleasures. So, kamehi aritto and kamehi ritto hoti. Ida gahapati ekaccho kamesu vigata rago hoti. Vigata chando, vigata pemo, vigata pipaso, vigata parilahu, vigata tanho, evanko gahapati kamehi ritto hoti. Now here kama means the five sensual chords we can see. So beautiful sights, beautiful sounds, say pleasant smells, that means in sort of scents, incense, etc. And then delicious food, tastes, and the tangibles. So these are the five types of sensual chords and to all of us are very much attached to. And if we can sort of associate them as much as possible, as we desire, as we like, as long as we like, then we can say, okay, we are rich. So that is how we typically do the typical grading. If a particular country has many people who can sort of acquire as much as possible sensual pleasures, then we are saying, okay, they are the first world country. So they have everything, they can quickly obtain, they are rich, and even if a rich family, a rich person, that is how we measure. He has a lot of money and a lot of wealth. And immediately, what if he want to see a beautiful picture, beautiful sight, beautiful scenery, beautiful film, he can afford for that. Similarly, if he want to enjoy himself some sort of expensive music, beautiful music, okay, he can afford for that. Smells are the same, tastes are the same. And he may be living in a mansion, and a lot of luxurious beds and whatever the furniture is available. So he's having everything. So that is what we typically consider as the development, as the material kind of fulfillment. So that is how we grade. And for that, actually, we have a great desire. So that is why people are earning more and more. That is why they are migrating. They are having more and more pleasure and the luxuries. So that is what they aim. As much as possible, going after various pleasures, acquired through sights, acquired through sounds, acquired through smells, acquired through tastes, acquired through tangibles. So our mind has that sort of a karma tanha, the sensual desire. So we are simply feeding that sensual desire. As much as possible, we are satisfying the senses, gratifying the senses. We all have that sensual desire, and we simply live according to them. We are trying to satisfy them, and we are like slaves. Every time, whenever a sensual desire arises, okay, I am bound to fulfill that. I am quickly approaching something and then trying to fulfill that desire. So we are very much like desire driven, very much like slaves to our desires. Various sense desires are there, sensual desires are there. We are constantly trying to feed them, constantly trying to gratify them. So that is what we are doing in this sensual world. Now, the opposite is mentioned for a monk, for a muni, for a person who is more into the spiritual side. So he is rid of sensual pressures. Someone is devoid of lust, desire, affection, thirst, passion, and craving in regard to sensual pleasures. So he is not going after them. He is not very much anticipating all those things. He may simply maintaining a very simple way of life. And sensual desires are in a very limited form, or maybe completely abandoned if he is a well-grown person. No sensual desires at all. So those are areas we can say, as one is spiritually growing, how one is abandoning gross kind of desires. So previously he may had all these different desires, but as a result of understanding, as a result of seeing things as they truly are, all these different forms of desires are now slowly depleting, slowly reducing, and ultimately, say, if he becomes a nanagami, non-returner, arahant, so now he doesn't have any sensual desire. So he can even have them, but he's not grasping them, he's not attached to them, he's not holding them. And so likewise, how a person spiritually developing and abandoning all these desires, ultimately living a kind of a simple life, free from sensual desires, free from inner craving, free from inner burning. And maybe, okay, there are some more to discuss. And how householder does one entertain expectations? Katancha gahapati purekharano purakharano purakharano hoti. So he has a lot of expectations. So a lot of plans in the mind. That means a lot of plans going on in the mind. Okay, I want to build a house. I want to build a monastery. I want to become rich. I want to become wealthy. I want to become smart. I want to become beautiful. Many, many desires, many, many plans, future plans. Here, householder, someone thinks, may I have such form in the future? May I have such feeling in the future? May I have such perception in the future? May I have such volitional formations in the future? May I have such consciousness in the future? It is in such a way that one entertains expectations. So too many desires, too many plans, too many expectations. Mind is filled with so many expectations. On the other hand, and how household is one without expectation? Katancha gahapati apurakkharanu hoti. So, the opposite is mentioned. Does not think, may I have such form in the future, may I have such feeling, may I have such perception, etc., etc. And such person is called without expectations. Now, these expectations are the ones driving the society in a way. So we all have expectations, we all have ambitions. So we are ambitious to have this, have that, to implement this, to implement that. And we all need that. So that is why, so sometimes we are training our children, say our students, okay, you should do this, you should do that, then you can become this, you can become that. You can become a doctor, you can become an engineer, you can become a teacher, you can become a very successful businessman. So likewise, we are motivating. We are giving future plans. And those plans are driving them. So those plans are very much like a carrot driving a donkey. Always going after that, going after that, going after that. When a little expectation is fulfilled, another expectation comes. When that is fulfilled, another expectation comes. So we may think, okay, if I fulfill this particular desire, this particular hope, then I am done. But it never happened. So once it is done, then you have a new expectation, a new desire, now new craving, and you are now going after that. And once you are done with it, okay, you have another one. So it's a never-ending process. So till you die, you are going after that. And even at the death, you are not fulfilled. You are dying without fulfillment, without being able to complete the desires. So next life also, now you are trying the same thing, again and again trying to fulfill the desires, again and again trying to fulfill all these expectations. Now that is in a way how the whole society become kind of frustrated, because they have so many expectations but only a limited resources, so they become frustrated. They become restless. And because they can't fulfill all the desires. And the next part, katancha gahapati, katang viggahya janena katta hoti. And how householder does one engage people in dispute? And how householder one does not engage people in dispute? Here, householder, someone engages in such talk as this. You don't understand this Dhamma and discipline. I understand this Dhamma and discipline. But you understand this Dhamma and discipline, you are practicing wrongly, I am practicing rightly. What should have been said before, you said after. What should have been said after, you said before. I am consistent, you are inconsistent. What you took so long to think out has been overturned. Your thesis have been refuted. Go off to rescue your thesis, for you are defeated, or disentangle yourself if you can. It is in such a way that one engages people in dispute. Now these are related to various disputes, various arguments. If you can use a handkerchief better. So basically when one is going through kind of a dispute,
so you can wash your mouth.
So basically then when one is going through various disputes, so again and again he is arguing with another person and talking to other people and always getting various arguments, trying to condemn others, refute others. So these are kind of arguments going on, and debates going on, disputes going on, and that is what mentioned or talked here. And this particular sage, we can say, so he having left home to roam without abode, in the village the sage is intimate with none, and he is rid of sensual pressures, and he is without expectations, and he would not engage people in dispute. Now you can see, I mean, these are in a way very interesting spiritual qualities of a spiritual seeker, which is highlighted in this particular verse. So people are talking, okay, I am a spiritual seeker, I am a saint, I am a sage, I am a saint. So likewise, many, many things are there. Now Buddha here includes certain kind of characteristics, which are noble characteristics, which he is having. And again, he says, okay, the arahants are having. So one thing is, his consciousness doesn't associate a home, and the defilements are uprooted. As a result of that, all the sense impingements are not generating any kind of diffusion, any kind of an entanglement, any kind of desires, not promoting any desires. And again, he doesn't maintain any kind of an intimate relationship with the villagers, whoever he is associating. And he is rid of sensual pleasures, and he doesn't have any expectation. He's very much like living in the present moment, doesn't have huge plans, and he doesn't engage with any dispute, with any kind of an argument with others. He doesn't have any debate with others. So those are the very interesting and very, say, sublime qualities that Buddha highlighted in this particular verse. That is what Venerable Mahakachana explained to the householder Halidakani. And with that, I like to conclude today's Sutta teaching session. Now I like to open the session for questions. Yeah, here we have a question. Yeah.
Ante, you had mentioned in the sutta there was a place where it says consciousness is added as part of explanation, the desire, lust, delight, and craving, entanglement and clinging, the mental standpoints, adherences, and underlying tendencies, regarding the feeling element, perception element, volitions element, and the consciousness element.
Mm-hmm.
Were you asking why that was included, consciousness, there? Because there is a note in the
Bhikkhu Bodhi.
Yeah.
Okay, if you can
tell
that.
Very short. It says, why is consciousness mentioned here? To show the abandoning of defilements, for defilements are not fully abandoned in reaction to... So I'll read it again. Why is consciousness mentioned here? To show the abandoning of the defilements. The defilements are not fully abandoned in relation to the other four aggregates only, but in relation to all five.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So it's just, I guess, saying that all the aggregates together are only the abandoned when they're all abandoned, so consciousness is a part.
What I understand is, I mean, it's very much like, I feel, I mean, it's my limited way I am telling.
Mm-hmm.
Say the consciousness element requires the form element, or feeling element, perceptions element, or the formations element. Without it, it can't retain, it can't establish.
Yeah.
So similarly, when it is not associating any of those, so that means it becomes helpless, it becomes homeless.
Okay.
So adding another attribute as consciousness element itself,
mm-hmm,
is little sort of confusing the situation,
mm-hmm,
because say, I can't touch my finger from my finger. Right? I mean, like the same finger. How can you touch this from the same finger?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Now, with the others, I can. Say, this is my thumb.
Yes.
How can I touch the same thumb from this thumb?
Mm-hmm.
So if I want, I can keep like this, keep like with the middle finger, okay, like this.
Yeah.
So if I don't have any of these, then this become helpless.
Mm-hmm.
This finger, thumb
mm-hmm.
become helpless. It doesn't have any association.
Yeah.
So I understand is we don't need to talk about this. We are talking about its association. Now we are abandoning all those associations. Now this become unestablished. So
yeah.
The consciousness become unestablished. So that is what I logically can see.
Yeah.
But adding here thinking, I mean, if all the aggregates are to be completed,
mm-hmm.
so I feel it's not necessary because
so
only the four aggregates are available for consciousness aggregate to associate.
Yeah.
So that is what in the Upaya Sutta, say, let me show the Upaya Sutta. So in Upaya Sutta, so Buddha mentioned, Rupa Upayangva Bhikkave Vinyanam Tittamanam Tittaya Rupa Arammanam Rupa Patittam Nandupa Sechanam Buddhim Virulham Vepullam Apajji. So similarly, Vedana, Sanya, Sankhara. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Vinyana not there. So the Vinyana is establishing, associating Rupa, associating Vedana, associating Sanya, associating Sankhara. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am showing now the Upaya Sutta. So they are similar thing very much, but only the five aggregates are mentioned. Rupa Upayangva Bhikkave Vinyanam Tittamanam Tittaya Rupa Arammanam Rupa Patittam Nandipa Sechanam Buddhim Virulhim Vepullam Apajji. So similarly Vedana, similarly Sanya, similarly Sanskara, Bhikkave Vinyanam Tittamanam Tittaya. So that's all. So the four aggregates are mentioned. So those are the aggregates referred by the consciousness aggregate, used by the consciousness aggregate to associate. So, and then put the mention, so then Buddha mentioned Rupa Dhatu Yache Bhikkave Rago Pahino Hoti. So likewise, now we explain the Vipassana part, how one doesn't have any kind of a desire for the Rupa Dhatu, to the form aggregate. So likewise, so even the Vijnana Dhatu is mentioned there, so the Raga with respect to Vijnana is abandoned. So that is, say, using the different this thing. So you like to hear, you like to see, you like to that even that desire is abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
Now the ultimate result is now the consciousness aggregate doesn't have any footing. It doesn't use the form aggregate, doesn't use the conscious the feeling, perceptions, formations. So as a result of that, it become unestablished. So I mean these things are arguable. I mean we don't need to take a stand thinking only this is the only correct thing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so ultimate result is that the consciousness has to be unestablished, not associating anything,
mm-hmm.
and not attached to anything, not grasping anything.
Yes.
Okay.
Can I add?
Sure. Yeah.
So I wonder then, what is consciousness then if it's not established with any of the four other aggregates, and why do they consider it the fifth aggregate to be abandoned?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess that means that it's not associated with, it's not clinging to the sense elements of form, feeling, perceptions.
Mm-hmm. So that is why, the consciousness element is then called unestablished consciousness. Anidassana vinyana, appatitita vinyana. So those are the terms used when consciousness is not associating anything. But it doesn't mean the person become dumb.
Yes.
The person is still fully conscious, fully functional, but still the consciousness is not entangled in form element.
Yes.
It is not entangled in feeling, perceptions, formations.
Mm.
But he is fully functional.
Mm.
That's an interesting thing.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the thing. So that is where I explain in this, vinyanam anidassanam anantam sabbato pabam. So likewise, Buddha explained in the Digha Nikaya Kevadda Sutta. So in the Arahants, so his consciousness is unestablished. And it doesn't represent anything. The nama rupa, name and form is not representing there. As a result of that, his mind is very clean, clear, and say doesn't represent any kind of an entanglement. So he's living a very free life in a way. His consciousness is completely free, we can say, on the other hand. So when mind consciousness is associating something, when it is locked into something, it is not free. It is being entangled, it is being shackled.
Yes.
But when it is not associating anything, it is very much like floating.
Yes.
Completely free.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have any footing.
Yeah.
So that is the way Buddha explained. So that is, I mean, we are talking about the Arahant's mind in other terms.
Yeah.
So when one becomes an Arahant, what happened to the consciousness?
Mm-hmm.
So his consciousness is unestablished.
Mm-hmm.
His consciousness is not restricted to any particular form, any particular sound, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the thing.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, we can come to your side, Jennifer.
Thank you, Bensing. I'd like to invite Radhika to ask the next question.
Hi, Jennifer. I think this is not regarding my meditation, but regarding your talk and another sutta that I was confused about, the same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the Puttamansa Sutta, where it's about the nutriment and four nutriments. And the last one was consciousness for consciousness. Like the first one was Kabalakkaraharo.
Yes, food, yes.
Growth and subtle. And the second was contact, and that's very clear. I mean, those two are very clear. And the third one is, mental formations or something like that. I can't remember the third one.
Right,
and
right.
The fourth, consciousness.
Yes.
And then I was kind of confused, why is consciousness food for consciousness?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Because the first was Kabalakkara, and the same word is used, it's used, they say, it's residing. Consciousness is residing in rupa.
Mm.
And the nutriment of Kabalakkara, of food, roast and sat,
mm-hmm.
is being nourishing the consciousness and making it stronger.
Mm-hmm.
A similar type of language is used, residing in the home, sort of the same, right?
Correct, correct.
Up is consciousness is residing in consciousness and being nourished by consciousness. So I too was confused. As to how that was possible, and then I can't remember the monk, but said it's because, and this I'm not saying this is right or wrong, I don't know, because of nama rupa in the Paticchasamuppada consciousness,
yes. Yeah.
And nama rupa are kind of circular,
exactly.
Consciousness results in nama rupa, nama rupa results in consciousness, and it connect. He connected it to that.
Oh.
I still didn't get. But then I'm wondering if there is any connection. Maybe
I mean, there is a connection. I mean, name and form, nama rupa, dependent on consciousness, and consciousness is dependent on name and form. Vijnana paccha nama rupang, nama rupa paccha vijnanam. So that is explained in the Mahanidana Sutta and in the Nalakalapa Sutta. So those are explained. And as you said, for the consciousness, it is always looking for kind of a name and form. Now here we are talking the established consciousness, the entangled consciousness. So always consciousness is looking for something to get entangled.
Yes.
Something like that. Now then it becomes the food for that consciousness. We are promoting that kind of consciousness where the entanglement is available. So the kind of association is available. So what it associates ultimately is the name and form, we can say.
So I'm wondering if it's similar here, because even there I was confused.
Yes. Yeah, very similar. Very similar. Thing is, I mean, when consciousness go and associate form element.
Yes.
So we are talking like that in one level. And on the other hand, when that form element is still not available, okay, you can even close your eyes and you can imagine what you have seen. So, I mean, what is right now available is name and form, we can say. And previously also name and form available, but the sight is more prominent. But now when your eyes are closed, sight is not prominent, but the mental image is prominent. And as a result of that, the name and form becomes more prominent. And to that, the consciousness can get entangled.
Thank you, Bhante.
Okay,
thank you. Bhante, I have a written question here.
Right.
It says, most venerable Bhante, how should one consider unpleasant situation one faces? Example, situation in the country. If we consider that it is only cause and effect, past karma, then there is nothing to get upset about. Is this way of thinking being negative, Bhante? Thank you very much. Much merit to you.
Yeah, we need to understand to what extent we can help, what are our limitations, and what we can contribute, what we can do, etc. So it doesn't mean that we are not empathetic and we are become sort of indifferent, passive. It doesn't mean that. But we can be active, we can help, we can be helpful, we can actively contribute, and all these things are possible. But still knowing the limits, we can't completely cure, we can't completely save the whole world, and the limitations are also there. So that's why I typically mentioned the panya and karuna, the wisdom and compassion have to be balanced. So you can't completely driven by compassion, and similarly you can't completely driven by panya. So those two have to be balanced. So you should know what you really can do, what best you can do, and again, and now you are doing, you are functioning, and again you know, okay, what are the limitations, what I can't do, so what is my capacity. So likewise, you are maintaining that kind of a balance. So that needs both compassion and wisdom.
Thank you, Bhante. I'd like to invite Kumudini for the next question.
Thank you, Jennifer. There was Arnai Bhante. My question is, I listened to this talk today, and I'm a little intrigued as to how the arahants can have this consciousness that is not attached. Does it mean that when they see something, they don't recognize it and give a value judgment or whatever? How does it happen?
Yeah, I think when Buddha talking to Bahir, Ditte Dittamattam Bhavisati, Sute Sutamattam Bhavisati, likewise. So so seeing is just seeing. Hearing is just hearing. So likewise, so the arahant may be seeing, arahant is also hearing, but mind is not get entangled, mind is not established, mind is not involved with what he has seen. So mind remains calm, mind remains unentangled, mind remains relaxed. So likewise, the sublime qualities of the mind retains. It doesn't being shocked by what has seen. It is not being disturbed by what has seen. So the mind.
Bhante, I have.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. So likewise, before you become an arahant, even when you are fairly successful in vipassana, probably you can get such kind of an experience. Suppose you are in a walking path. And say you are capable of maintaining a little bit of unattached mind. And even when you look around, you can see things. It doesn't mean that you can't see. You still can see things. But mind remains calm. Mind is still very calm. No even thoughts. You simply see without thoughts. No formations.
Yeah, I can understand at that level, Bhante, but yes. I'm just talking about saying day to day, you know, if you are, you know, see something and you have to make a value judgment in order to function, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you manipulate this? That's what I want to know. I have listened to the Bahya Sutra and all that
Correct.
Many times, but I have always wondered how you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm asking.
So I think you still can. So that is where, now say for example, when Buddha talking to monks, so he has established so many rules for the monks. Monastic
right.
rules are there. Okay, he's telling, okay, you should not kill, you should not steal, you should not abuse, you should not lie, etc., etc. I mean, so many rules are there. So that means he is operating on the level of the typical convention. So he has respected to the rules and regulations of the country. And he knows what are the norms, what are the conventions. So he is really respecting them as well. But at the same time, he knows it is a mere convention. He knows it is a mere rules and regulation for the, say, for the better continuation of the society. So he knows exactly the purpose of that. And again, he knows maybe the limitations of that. And he too is expecting his monks, his followers to adhere to that. But at the same time, he is telling a different domain or different dimension as well. So you don't need to really confine to this convention. You don't need to think the convention is the only reality and it is the only truth. But there is something other than that.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah, yeah.
I think what I have to realize is that when I'm, you know, moving about in the world, if I see things that, you know, I feel are not quite right, I should just let it go, not get involved in it.
It depends.
How can you do it?
It depends. So it depends on the situation.
Yes.
So if you find, okay, you are sort of encountering a kind of a situation which you have no control and it is beyond your control, beyond your scope, and you don't know what to do. So then yes, as you said, you can simply abandon that. You can't get involved. So, but on the other hand, if there are certain situations where you feel, okay, I can get involved, I can help, and that situation requires your help, your attention, then you may be attending to that with wisdom, without being emotional. You are simply doing the thing what is most appropriate.
Thank you very much. That was very, very good advice. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Saranai.
Saran Sanai.
Thank you, Jennifer. Bhante, I think I would like you to confirm that the difference between the arahat and the ordinary people are that the arahat has lost his sense of self. So all these things are just seeing as seeing, because
mm-hmm.
there is no sense of self, while we are very much involved because we have the sense of self, and also we are living the lay life. So I mean, you know, we have sometimes we have to get involved in certain situations.
Correct.
So I think that is the difference, isn't it, Bhante?
Yeah, I mean, even as monks, we have responsibilities. We have sometimes get involved. So it doesn't mean whether you are a layperson or a monk. I mean, still we have certain obligations, certain situations there we need to contribute. So on the other hand, the arahant, as you said, has completely free from all the defilements and eye-making, mind-making, the self-view, etc. So he is operating at a different level. So he is not sort of having any desires. He is not trying to build anything out of any kind of a situation. So he is simply doing his best.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we are, it's difficult for us, but as you said, momentarily we do experience this momentarily, so, and as we go along this path,
we realize that little by little the sense of clinging is weakened and the defilements are getting weaker.
Correct.
Isn't that right, Bhante?
Correct, correct. Definitely, yes.
Yes. And the other thing that I found interesting was Bhikkhu Bodhi refers to the home and abode, which I thought I'll just sort of run it past you. He talks of the home as the internal aggregates, and he says the desire and lust are strong in relation to one's home, which is inhabited by one's wife, children, wealth, and possession. So too, they are strong in regard to the internal aggregates. But as lust and desire are weaker in regard to such places, he refers to the abode as parks and
abodes as what? Abodes at what?
Such places as parks.
Parks.
Yeah.
Right.
Temporary
right.
residence.
I see,
He also says related to external objects that we see.
Right.
So the lust and desire are stronger for within us than our
correct.
Our possessions and our
yes.
family. While when we are going visiting other people in other homes or seeing other things as external objects, that
right.
lust and desire is not as strong as what we have internally.
Mm-hmm.
Which he talks of as home.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So that was quite interesting, I thought, Bhante.
Yeah, quite interesting. Thank you for contributing that.
Yes.
So that means he's giving kind of a different definition to the Okasari and Niketasari. So the first one is Okasari, that is where the house, the home is highlighted.
Yes.
Where, say, you have a family, you have your children, you have your house. So it's a very, very close association, kind of intimate relationship is there. And strong desires are there.
And also he puts the five aggregates, our five aggregates also into it.
Correct.
Yes. So that it's all a part of the whole, our five aggregates, our internal aggregates, he says.
Right.
While the other places and external objects and other abodes, which are not permanent,
right.
Such as parks, he gives that example, are not so strongly attached to it with lust and desire as we are to our home.
Right. Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Yes.
Yes. We are finding it difficult, obviously, because we have the sense of self. But with time, little by little, it will get better, no?
That's what I also feel, because I mean, we can't immediately completely free from our defilements. So it may happen, it may take time. It's a slow process.
Yes.
So as we are continuing, we may, by the way, have to have a comparatively, okay, I am feeling better, I feel relaxed. When compared to six months ago. So likewise, comparatively, we can understand, okay, a kind of fading off of defilements, fading off of attachments, fading off of graspings, and reducing of, burning and etc. So that means things are happening in the proper side.
And of course, with time, we have to also let go of a lot of these involvements as lay people. We get involved in this and that and other things, Bhante.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to slowly try to reduce that.
Mm-hmm. So that is where,
actually
that is where we understand, okay, when one start mindfulness practice and various other spiritual endeavors, so he or she may understand, okay, what is most necessary, what is most essential. So what are the functions which are essential? What are the functions which are not essential? So likewise, he may start reducing unnecessary involvements and only associating what is essential. So likewise, he is simplifying his life.
And it's varying with your state of life. Now, people who have very young children, they can't do the same thing as people who have, adult children.
Yes,
so
yes.
It is just a matter of being patient and doing the right thing by the family and also ultimately doing the right thing for yourself.
Correct.
That's what you're doing. You know?
Definitely.
So it's a gradual process.
Definitely. Yes.
Yes, Bhante, thank
okay.
you.
Yeah.
It's okay. I just wanted to also make a comment based on what you were saying earlier about the monks, when they go into the village and, getting entangled in the village kind of gossip or talk or, having intimate relations with lay people and stuff. And it really becomes a distraction for a monk, to have these kind of intimate relationships with, lay people and like talking about like worldly things like politics and stuff.
Correct.
And you see that in Burma, like with the monks, like, you know, they're like all like political and stuff. Like a lot of the monks there are like super political. With, like,
yeah, even in Sri Lanka.
And, yeah. You know, and, you know, doing these like worldly things, like getting involved
yes,
in
yes.
political activism.
Mm.
And just, you know, it's like they must be very distracted from their practice,
correct,
you know,
correct.
Doing these things and,
yes.
you know, speaking to lay people, like they're having like a friendly relationship with lay people and they're just like speaking about worldly things and not about Dhamma related things.
Mm.
Yeah, just it would be very distracting.
Correct, correct.
One could assume, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'd like to invite Priya for the next question.
Hi, Bhante. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Bhante, this is not a question. I was trying to find a sutta using your Mitrika Nisarmani website by searching under title, and it doesn't work. So is there an easy way to find a sutta?
Actually, let me show you. So basically, you can use okay, it takes a little time. Let me show the situation.
Okay, hold on. My my computer.
Yeah, I'm just trying to show
okay.
using my computer. So it takes some time to load, by the way. Okay, now this is the website. And we are going to audio. Now say we are going to English.
Uh-huh.
So so this is what we have. The English Dhamma sermons.
Yeah.
Okay. Now here, now say for if you want to search a sutta.
Uh-huh.
Now here you can search as... say Yavakalapi, and if I put like this, okay, nothing has come.
Oh,
if,
I tried single one. Maybe that's
okay.
why I'll try English one. Single one did not work.
No, even the same thing. Say
Okay, so yeah, I don't know what's wrong. Maybe it's something wrong in my end. When I put the title and search, it doesn't show. But I can see all the, you know, sutta, like you can see under there. But when I type the title, it doesn't work.
Yeah, the thing is, you may have to type properly. So let me see. Lotus Dhamma Sinhala. Say Satipatthana.
Okay.
So then if you type like this. So now...
S-A-T-H-I or Sati?
S-A-T-I. S-A-T-I. Now if it is included in a particular group, now that group being highlighted and you can now visit the group and then you can find out. If the sutta is not available as the name alone, so then you can, the whole group will be shown and then you can go to that particular group and there the sutta is available.
I see. Yeah. Thank you very much, Bhante.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Bhante, the link that Aruna has shared with your teachings, is that different than... the website that you just showed us?
Yes, yes. Actually, that is his kind of, he's maintaining his own website. So that recently, I mean, it was attached to Nisarnavane and basically he started that some time back. And he's also very much promoting Nisarnavane sermons. So
okay.
It is different by
so
the way.
Now- I see. That's good to know. I thought that is now replacing the monastery's website. So
No.
We can still find the same sutta teaching.
Definitely. Definitely. The Nisarnavane website is, independent. So we have the monastery website, all the Dhamma sermons, etc. conducted by the Nisarnane monks are included in the Nisarnane website. But Anuddha's one is quite personal to him, and he is doing his own stuff. His own selections are there.
Okay, thank you for clarifying.
Right. Okay, if there are no more questions, then we'll wind up the session.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. So we have discussed about 1.5 hours and all the merits which have accumulated. Diksha with all the celestial beings, with all the past relatives and whoever in need of merits. Let's wish these merits help us also to attain path, fruition, nibbana. While keeping these good wishes in our mind, let's recite the traditional verses. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Akasatta ca bhummatta devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu sasanam. Akasatta ca bhummatta devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu desanam. Akasatta ca bhummatta devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu mamparam. Idam vo nyati nam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyati nam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyati nam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.